Kate Lochte sits down with Maestro Raffaella Ponti and gets a preview of next weekend's concert of the Paducah Symphony Orchestra, our region's only professional orchestra.
Well, I just love the title of the October 13th concert, Young and Mighty.
This showcases our 2012 Young Artist Concerto Competition winners, pianist Chunwang Jin and violinist Nathan Lowry. It's held annually at Murray State University. And I was proud to be on the panel this year. I'm amazed on the level of talent in the high school level around the region and the Midwest that are coming to this competition. And I'm often impressed with the level of musical maturity that these kids have without the life experience yet. I mean, how do you understand the music of Liszt? And to be able to play Korngold to this level at such a young age, to me, is really where talent comes through. And you're going to hear that on the stage this coming weekend.
Were you performing at that level when you were their ages?
Not soloistically, but orchestrally. I understand the work and the time and the dedication. You have to be living and breathing music and have a relationship with your instrument. I'm just starting now to get friends because I didn't have that growing up because I was busy trying to make music. People see us on the stage and they say, wow, what a great life. It's all lights and glamour and your flaws. But they don't realize that when you don't see me on the stage, I'm in a little room studying scores all day long and researching and spending time alone to be able to understand, well, what was the composer thinking? Liszt used the same notes and manuscript techniques as Beethoven, Korngold, and Dvorak, but they all use them in a different way.
So what exactly will we be feeling during this concert of next Saturday?
Well, we begin with the Beethoven Egmont Overture. The story of this Egmont was about the struggle for freedom, which is a much different story, but it's what Fidelio was based on as well, which is a real thing for Beethoven because his struggle for freedom was something he was always bucking as a young man into his adulthood to be free, to have a voice. You hear that in his life struggle. He probably was trying to be free of his imposed deafness. He was struggling all his life, and we hear that in his music. And if you don't get that across, we didn't perform it right. Next, we move to Eric Korngold. If you like film music and that kind of sound, this is absolutely beautiful music. This was written, I believe, in 1945, the concerto. We're doing the first movement. You know, normally when we hear concertos, there's a standard orchestral introduction, then we pass it to the soloist, then you go back and forth, bouncing it back and forth. This concerto starts right off the bat, the first note played by the violin and orchestra together, and it's a constant dance through this beautiful, soaring escapades of arpeggios, scales, and sonority that just go hand in hand, back and forth, as if we're ballet dancing together, and one can never let go of the partner. There's always this continuity of touching and holding and feeling this connection. It's a very beautiful, challenging piece of music, very easy for our ear. Korngold has written beautiful, accessible listening stuff, so people will like it. It sounds like it's music of today. Now we go to Liszt, Hungarian Fantasy, chock full of folk songs. This is real Olympics for the keyboards, and this young man can play it. It's a powerful piece of music, and this young man makes it musical and expressive. Oh, the Dvorak Symphony No. 7, probably the pinnacle of his achievement as a composer. We know No. 9 from the New World. No. 8 is very popular. This No. 7 is an absolute gem of a piece of music. First movement starts out very somber and tragic. And as I first started studying the score, I started to think to myself, you know, generally the format of a sonata lego form is where, you know, you lay out a little concept and you develop and you pass it around and we return, we go back to the development. This doesn't have any of that. This is basically little fragments of ideas. He locks into a little idea and four measures later, he leaves it. And I was getting frustrated listening and studying this thing. I was thinking, why don't you just go there? Take it over the top. And he never gets there. It's tragic and it's dark. And it's in minor key. Lovely. The second movement shows off the woodwinds in the opening phrases. where the clarinet, oboe, flute, bassoon are just intertwined in this beautiful, melancholy, but yet somber and a bit dark of a theme. He's still keeping it in that mode. The third is a very danceable Slavic feel to it, kind of an awkward gait in this movement, but it stays fluid through the whole thing. And the key to performing this Slavonic dance type of thing is that it has to be played precise, but it has to have the breath of life and flexibility into it. And this is a challenge for any orchestra, and that's the key to that performance. Now, the fourth movement is bombastic. At times, to me, it sounds like a pipe organ with all the beautiful pedal tones and colors and sonorities, and he's just now driving it home, still tragic in effort, but allegro, just exciting. And the last three chords of the piece, and only in the last three chords, does the piece go to a major key, and he ends it finally with a note of hope after all the tragedy. It's absolutely a powerful, moving piece of music.
Rafael Ponti is artistic director and conductor of the Paducah Symphony Orchestra. He previews the next concert, which happens Saturday, October 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the Carson Center. Winners of this year's Young Artist Competition solo in Korngold's Violin Concerto in D Major and Liszt's Hungarian Fantasy for piano and orchestra. Works by Beethoven and Dvorak complete the program. Tickets are available at 270-444-0065.